We're going to open your Bibles to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. This morning we're going to conclude teaching series we've been in for the past several weeks in the Psalms called Reoriented. This summer has been at least for our family, I don't know if this is the case for many other families, but it's been very jam-packed with a lot of activities. Would have loved for a lot of those activities to be, just fun for the family. But our family at least has just not been afforded the opportunity just to take a vacation even, because there's been so many things going on, good things, God things. This weekend, another God thing is taking place. Years ago, I guess we haven't been for a couple years, the worship team traveled out to Rhode Island to help a friend out at a church there, literally a stone's throw from the ocean. There's a small church there that asked us to come and to be with them to just bring a weekend of enrichment and encouragement through worship and singing. And so several of us will be traveling later part of this week to Rhode Island again to reconnect and reignite that relationship that we've had with that church, my good friend Clarence Campbell. So keep us in prayer as we go out, and I'm sure that in between encouraging them and giving them a little uplifting opportunity, we'll be uplifted as we spend some time in the ocean. I promise you not to drift out too far this time. That's what happened last time we were there. I was drifting out away, far, far out in the ocean. We will make sure that will not happen this time. All right, Psalm 66. If you want to read along, you can. If you want to read it on the screen, you can. If you just want to listen to this psalm, you can do that. It says, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praises glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praises to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of the praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. As I shared the past several weeks, if you're visiting with us and haven't been here for the entire series, we have been considering portions of the book of Psalms, namely Psalms that we have determined to represent a particular type. Weeks ago, I showed this graphic to talk about the different types of Psalms. This is based on the work of an Old Testament theologian named Walter Brueggemann, who said that Psalms can be categorized in one of three categories. There are Psalms of orientation. Those are just psalms that just kind of tell it like it is, the way it should be. And as such, these psalms will reflect themes like creation. Whenever you see a psalm that's just rooted in telling the creation story, or maybe it's a psalm about the law or the Torah, Psalm 119, which is a very, very long psalm, but it's a psalm about the Torah. That's a psalm of orientation. That's just the way things ought to be. But then you go through life and things happen and you are disoriented. Things just aren't right during those. Those are periods where there's injustice. Those are periods where you're hurting. Those are periods when you're in a ditch. Those are periods when you're just not feeling right and you are disoriented. And you're likely to hear a psalm of disorientation say things like, "How long, O Lord, will you let us go through this?" Or "Lord, why do my enemies triumph over me?" Those are psalms of disorientation. And then we have psalms of new orientation or reorientation. And those are psalms where the psalmist or the writer of that song cries out to God in jubilation because he's been rescued or redeemed or helped out. And as such, there's a song of praise that usually follows. And we have been focusing on psalms of new orientation again in this series called Reorientation. These are the psalms that seem to conjure up a spirit of praise in response to what God is doing in the lives of his people. Now, earlier in the series, we considered the ideas that sort of prompt us to give praise to God. We started off by talking about him rescuing us. We were in danger, and like swimming lifeguard, the lifeguard was able to see a danger that we couldn't really comprehend or see ourselves. There was a point where God rescued us from harm. And in response, we sing songs identifying the Lord as our rescuer and our helper, like in Psalm 121 that says, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber." And then we looked at this idea of redemption. You know, he redeems us. And that's another theme or idea that prompts us to give God praise. We were a people who lost our way, and God actively pursued us. And even though we were damaged goods, God redeemed us. He cleaned us up. He brought us back and claimed us to be his own, calling us his own special people. And so we sing songs like of the redeemed, like this in Psalm 107. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south." And then we talked about this idea of restoration. That we give praise to God because he has restored us out of the ashes of despair and darkness and defeat. The Lord has restored his people. Out of those ashes arise stories of triumph and victory and new life. Consequently, our praise reflects a story of transition. Like Psalm 30, "You turned my wailing," or my mourning, "into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever." Last week, Justin preached about this idea of revival. He revived us. Having been rebuilt and reformed and refashioned by God after a period of disorientation or near spiritual death, we experience the euphoria of revival. It's akin to the feeling of an ancient Israelite traveling to Jerusalem for a festival. So we sing in communion songs like this from Psalm 122. "I rejoiced with those," or "I was exceedingly glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." And on the heels of that last song, I want us to conclude this series by considering a true blessing of being connected to God after being rescued and redeemed and restored and revived. Church, we have explored the thousands and thousands of reasons to give praise to God for all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he will do. And sometimes we find ourselves in a search for one more reason. And sometimes there are reasons that often go overlooked. I want us to consider one more reason. We are able to experience seasons of new orientation or being reoriented. And we should respond in praise to God because of that season. That reason, church, is sitting right beside you on your left side, sitting beside you on your right side. They may be sitting back of you if you're not in the back row. They might be sitting in front of you if you're not sitting on the front row. I'm looking at a reason to give praise to God. It's each other. It's people. It's the body of Christ. It's the church. It's the kingdom of God. It's people. Doing life with other people is a reason to give praise to God. For as much as the Psalms were written by individuals, sometimes in response to personal reflections, issues, or even victories, the Psalms were written to be experienced with other people. The Psalms are communal. The Psalms were collected to be an experience by the people. That's plural. The people of God. Quite simply, we have been reoriented because we are able to find connection with God and with others in this thing called life. Now, our journey is not a lonely journey absent from the stories of others. Here is the place where all of our stories come together and they mesh and we compare and we contrast and we find similarities. You know, it was interesting. I was talking with Bill Johnson yesterday who had just driven. He and his family went on vacation to Arcadia National Park in the Northeast in New England, and they went to Niagara Falls, you know, which is, you know, near my hometown. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, 15, 20 minutes from Niagara Falls. And on their way further east, they stopped for church at a church called the North Greece Church of Christ. And yesterday he says, "Hey, have you ever heard of the North Greece Church of Christ?" I said, "Have I heard of it? When I first went to college in 1992, I used to go to a church called the Reynolds Street Church of Christ, which moved to Henrietta Road and became the Henrietta Road Church of Christ, which moved to North Greece and became the North Greece Church of Christ. The Johnsons worship with folks that I used to worship with." You see, when you do life together, you'll find yourself, you know, meshing and overlapping. Have you ever had a conversation with Bill Raper? I guarantee if you've had a conversation with Bill Raper, in the context of that conversation, you found out that you know somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody else that knew somebody from over here. See, when you do life together, there are things that begin to overlap. When you do life together, you may find yourself talking to other people about an issue that you're going through. And they'll say, "You know what? I'm going through the same issue." "You are?" "Yes, I am." "Well, how did you get through that?" "Well, let's sit down and let's talk about that." When you do life together, things happen like that. Your lives begin to overlap. That's the blessing of doing life together. You doing life with me and me doing life with you. Hopefully in doing that, we enrich each other. And I realize that we are people, and sometimes that get a little muddy and that get a little messy. Sometimes when we do life with each other, sometimes there are complications. But for the most part, when we do life together, when we struggle together, when we share our victories together, that makes for a pretty good life. The reason Psalm 66 speaks to me, and hopefully it speaks to this sermon series of new orientation, is because all of the plural pronouns that you see in Psalm 66 and other psalms, but in this psalm of new orientation, look, it's a shout for joy to God, all the earth, that not just one person on the earth, like all the earth, sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds, so great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against them. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of the praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people rule over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. Do you see all the plural pronouns? And again, yes, a lot of these psalms arise out of an individual circumstance and an individual story, but they're meant to be shared together. And in Psalm 66, we capture the essence of what is going on when it comes to praise, when it comes to us acknowledging God as the source of life and the source of our being and the source of our abundance and the source of our well-being. It's a plural, it's a community endeavor. Psalm 66 is but a sample of a theme that radiates throughout the Psalms. We have been invited to do life with God and others. So then in another psalm of orientation, Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2, it says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord, let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Dropping down to verse 6, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before God, our maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care, not the lamb under his, not the sheep under, but the flock. Or Psalm 122 that I read earlier, I rejoice with those who said to me, and I love this, because the person didn't come to me and say, hey, you go to the house of the Lord, or hey, I'll see you later, I'm going to the house of the Lord. No, I was glad when they said to me, church, say this with me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Here we add to the list of all the marvelous and wonderful things that the Lord has done and the Lord is doing. Consider yourself in a position to give God praise because he has connected you to each other, bringing you back from the verge of death, restoring you, reviving you. And redeeming you means also reconnecting you with the people of God. And this I find to be a true blessing, and often an underappreciated blessing. Yet where would we be if we didn't have each other? The more and more we progress in our society, the more and more we try to figure out ways to tell each other we don't need each other. I can do it all by myself. It starts when they're babies, doesn't it? When the baby want to start feeding themselves, you try to take the fork and try, I can do it. I can do it myself. But it stretches out to all realities in life. I can do it all by myself. I can pump my own gas. I can scan my own groceries. I can work through my marriage problems all by myself. I can kick this addiction all by myself. I can get rid of my nasty attitude all by myself. I can deepen and enrich my relationship with God all by myself. I can fix all my debt and money problems all by myself. I suppose that it is possible for us to do all those things by ourselves. But can I say this? It's not fun. It's not easier. What will we look like as a church? What will we look like as a community? What will we look like in a society that's so, got their hearts so set on just doing things by themselves? What will we look like if we would dare accept this invitation by God to to do life together? Life with God means life with others. The praise we give God, or give to God for all that he has done in our lives is best displayed when it is given with other people. This is not to suggest that there is no value in private praise. Praise in your home when everybody's gone and you've got the house all to yourself. I can only imagine if there was a hidden camera in your houses when everyone was gone. I can see Gary, Judy's gone, you got the house to yourself, and there's just probably something going on in there, and if there was a hidden camera, he'd be in there, he'd have on his tank top and everything, flexing in the mirror. I don't know what you did. There's nothing wrong with giving your personal praise. Keep doing it. There's nothing wrong with getting that good parking space in the front of the grocery store. There's nothing wrong with giving personal. There's nothing wrong with you driving to work and averting a car accident and bowing your, well, don't bow your head while you're driving. But there's nothing wrong with giving praise personally when you're by yourselves, but there's just something special and powerful and unique about bringing praise with other people. There's something powerful that takes place there that doesn't take place when you're alone in your car. When something happens to you, when you have a good victory, when you get a hole in one, if you ever played golf by yourself and you get a hole in one, now you're excited about that. But what's the first thing you want to do? You want to go tell someone else about it. The praise we give ought to be done not just privately, but with others. There is a value in that. There's a value in private praise. There's a value in public praise. But don't get so wrapped up in your private praise that you miss the connection with God's people. It should be a place for reconnection. That's why, as much as we are here to give praise to God, we are also here for one another. There's a psalm of new orientation that I love. It's Psalm 84. I just want to read a portion of that psalm, the first couple of verses in verse number 10. Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2 says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty." Let me just share this just and drop this. When you read the psalms, you might notice that there's a heavy emphasis on Jerusalem. Or Zion, you'll see Zion more often than Jerusalem. But there's a heavy emphasis on temple. There's a heavy emphasis on Jerusalem being the centerpiece of the experience of ancient Hebrews. And so when they talk about that centerpiece, when they talk about Jerusalem, when they talk about the temple, you can see the excitement. You can feel the emotion that the writers of these songs feel when they talk about Jerusalem. So he says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Verse number 10, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." Some versions say, "I would rather be a doormat at the house of the Lord than to be the guest of honor in the house of the wicked. There is something passionate about this psalmist's understanding of the place of God where others gather for worship. They would rather be there just for one day than to spend 1,000 days anywhere else. Name your tropical island, name your amusement park, name your ice cream parlor, name all the places that you'd rather spend 1,000 days at. And what's better than spending 1,000 days there is to be a doorkeeper or a doormat at the house of the God with God's people. There's something special about giving praise to God as we are being reconnected to one another. The psalmist captures here in this psalm of new orientation a thought and a feeling that should grip us. And perhaps this should inform our praise and worship today. The people of God in seasons of new orientation or even disorientation ought to have a passion and a yearning for connection to God and a connection to others in worship. Like Justin shared last week, we don't have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to make this reality happen. We can do it in the 614. That's slang for Columbus area. Just so y'all don't have to go to your Urban Dictionary translator. Church, now is the time to worship. Come, let us sing aloud to the rock of our salvation. Lord, how majestic is your name and how lovely is your dwelling place. We are glad to be in the house of the Lord together. We give praise for being the people of God together. We give thanks for how you have brought us together. We give thanks for connection. I had an opportunity to share some words at a funeral this past Friday for Rodney Young. It was an interesting circumstance. You could tell that in the room of the people that I was talking with, that there had been some disconnection. I've seen that before. You come to a funeral and you've got siblings that's been fighting for a few years. You've got uncles and aunts that haven't said a word to each other, and the first time they've seen each other in years is at the funeral. How many people have experienced that? That isn't it sad that becomes sometimes the only place that we reconnect with other people is when people pass away? Now I see that as being a shame, but I also see that as being an opportunity. Whatever opportunity God gives us to reconnect with each other, we need to take those opportunities. But church, maybe we need to stop waiting until something bad happens before we reconnect. Listen, as a church, let's be transparent here. Years ago, we went through some stuff. We went through some stuff, and it was through going through that stuff that we had some reconnection. And we're thankful to God for that reconnection. But guess what? I don't want to wait till we go through some stuff again before we reconnect. And one of the ways that we can have a perpetual moment or a perpetual season of reconnection is that when it comes to our time of celebration, our time of praise and worship, we understand that this is a godly, divine stamped opportunity for us to reconnect with each other. That is the message of the communion service, that we do communion not by ourselves. We don't send everyone out in a special room by yourselves to go do communion, do we? At least that's not how I've seen it done before. We do communion together. We sit together. We sing together. We give together. We commune together. We read scripture together. We do life together. So as such, I can't help but give praise to God for giving me this opportunity to stand before you every week and to connect with you. I can't help but give God praise that every week he gives us an opportunity to sit with each other and connect with each other, even if it's just for a few minutes. We need connection. And that's why we're here, and that's one of the reasons why we give praise. Psalms of New Orientation. We did a series on Psalms of Disorientation. We did a series on Psalms of New Orientation. We're doing that now, and sometime in the future, we'll do Psalms of Orientation. Whatever season of life that you're in, we want you to know that as a church, we're here to receive you. We're here to love you. We're here to care for you. Don't be ashamed if you're sitting next to somebody who's in a season of new orientation, but right now you're just disoriented, man. It's just, you know, cobwebs in your brain. You don't know what's going on. Just money not right, family not right, job not right, your relationship with God not right, your spiritual life just isn't clicking. Don't be ashamed if you're sitting next to someone who you think has it all together and has all the answers and all the, I want you to know this, that even if that person is going through a new orientation, God perhaps has put you next to each other so that you can connect. And that something powerful and special will take place as you connect. Better to be disoriented and do life with someone than to be disoriented and to be all by yourself. And so as a church this morning, we want you to know, wherever you are at in your life, in your season, in this journey, we're here for you. And we're ready to love you, care for you. We want to be your family. We want to be what God needs us to be for you. We're gonna sing a song in just a few moments, and as we sing and reflect on the words of that song, it's another song that talks about us. It's a plural song. It's a commitment to do the God thing with each other. As we sing that song, if there's something that we can do for you, pray for you, surround you, care for you, if you need to tell us some things, you need to unload some things, this is the place to do it in this moment of connection. If right now this is the moment that you've declared that I'm going to make Jesus Christ my Lord, I'm going to follow him, I'm going to do kingdom of God stuff, I'm declaring right now that this is going to be a changing moment, that this is my moment, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to make a profession of faith in him, you want to be buried in baptism, we'll provide that ministry for you as well. Church, as I said in the very beginning, the world may be able to outdo us in so many things. They may out-earn us. They may go up the status or the social ladder higher than us. They may have bigger houses. They may have bigger influence in the world. They may outdo us in so many things. The one thing we can't let the world do is outpraise us. So may we, as a church, be reignited to offer praise to God like we have never offered praise to him before. May we understand that when we shout to God, all the earth, that there are people listening, and may they hear and may they see why we are so ridiculously in love with God. May they come and ask, what is it about you that causes you to do the things that you do? And there we can tell our story. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, or let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If we can help you in any way, serve you in any way, come as we stand and as we sing.